streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday, a full slate of NFL preseason games this week. Yes, football is officially here. It's going to cool down over the next 10 days or so, 14 days in America, hopefully for some places that desperately need it. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor is back and looks splendid as usual. This is Joyce, a CEO of a major foundation. Her hair changes.
Yeah.
You know, this is very upscale.
Like a tech company or something.
Yeah, you're very in control, very powerful, a lot of leverage in the industry. It's great to see you.
Good to be back.
It is. The thing about success is the more you have, the danger is you start believing that you know more than everybody. And success is based, as many of you know, on a lot of factors. It's timing, it's support. I was talking to somebody the other day about what is this person's ceiling. It was a young kid in college, and I said, don't worry about your ceiling. Your ceiling can only be realized with help. Nobody reaches a ceiling without help. Brady had Belichick. And then he went to Tampa with those receivers. If he never had Belichick and those good receivers in Tampa, he'd have no Super Bowls. Everybody's ceiling, you need alliances and help. If you show up, you work hard every day, that's really who you are. Don't worry about the ceiling part. And the Patriots, for the only time in the history of the National Football League, maybe the Packers did this way, 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 way back, but the Patriots had like two dynasties. They had like a 20-year run, which included two dynasties beginning and end. So it's very human, it's very understandable if you start believing that you just are better than everybody else and smarter than everybody else. So the last 2 years has been very weird in New England since Tom Brady left. Tom is succeeding, and New England is not. They're a 500 team. Belichick now has multiple kids on his staff, his kids. Their drafts have been, to say the least, odd, and they can't score. So a story coming out over the weekend that from legitimate sources, Mike Girardi at the NFL Network, guy's been doing this a long time, that they've looked bad. Mac Jones looks uncomfortable this year. Mike Reese, ESPN reporter, again, excellent reporter. Know Mike not well, but know him, is they've had real struggles in camp. And it reminds me, back in 2010, Josh McDaniel was the coordinator of New England. He was this young, brash coordinator. And he got the job with Denver. And listen, sometimes when you're really talented, you get jobs early in your life. Lane Kiffin is one of these coaches, Lane Kiffin. And you're just not ready for it. It's a big job, face of a franchise. And that's okay. But the one thing Josh McDaniels did that was not okay is he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round in 2010, 12 years ago. And it was, I'm smarter than everybody. The sources I've had in this league for a long time and the people I trusted on Tim Tebow, most of the people I trusted didn't even know if he was draftable. Didn't know if he was draftable. That's okay, by the way. Tommy Frazier is one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever seen at Nebraska. Didn't get drafted. Charlie Ward was great. Quarterback Florida State didn't get drafted. Tebow's much closer to them than he is Peyton Manning, right? Like, my guys were like, I'm not really sure with his delivery. I don't know if he's a draftable quarterback. Maybe I'd take him in the seventh round and just get him on the roster. Denver took him first. First round. He bombed. He was at one point fourth on the depth chart in Denver. And so, again, McDaniel's from New England. And when you start looking, one of the things we know to be true, and it's sort of odd, right, is that Belichick's coaching tree has a lot of failures. And not just failures, disasters. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame, like disasters. And with all of them, what's the criticism? Josh McDaniels, arrogance. Charlie Weiss came out, said he had a schematic advantage at Notre Dame. Arrogance. Bill O'Brien, who I think is a pretty good coach, took over Houston, really kind of strong-armed people, got fired. Arrogance. Matt Patricia had to be told how to dress. Remember, he showed up hat backwards, got ripped after week one. He thought he could just get away with it. Joe Judge, we've got a certain system and a culture. In all of them, there's an argument to be made is they brought in this sort of we're smarter than everybody else. And I do think you're seeing it post-Brady. I think Brady's humility, I mean, for a superstar married to a supermodel worth $1 billion, Tom's pretty humble, can laugh at himself, pretty funny, good self-awareness most of the time. And this organization now, in an offensive pivoting league, there's not many playmakers. I saw a stat this morning, the guys looked up in the last 2 years, they're like bottom of the league in everything with the receivers, receiving receptions, receiving yards, receiving TDs. They brought in Devontae Parker. That's not going to solve it. He doesn't separate from anybody. Talented, but not really a separate guy. So, and here's why it's arrogant. Because you have Mac Jones in his second year. Mac Jones isn't Lamar Jackson. He's not Justin Herbert. Like, there are limitations to what he can do. So what he needs is support and help. Like Burrow's getting in Cincinnati. They just keep getting him weapons and offensive linemen. Like Justin Herbert is getting in L.A. with the Chargers. First thing they did, get a left tackle. They went and spent a fortune on a center. Draft another running back. They're just constantly upgrading. New England, we're going to use a defensive coordinator as an offensive coach. Joe Judge, a special teams guy. Yeah, he'll call plays too. It's by committee. And the stories are out that Mac Jones is not comfortable. Well, why would he be? I mean, if you were in year two of a really hard job and you got less support and it was boss by committee, to me that just smacks of arrogance, is that we're just smarter than everybody else. And if you start looking at all these misses, Eric Mangini got fired, but it wasn't an arrogance thing. I mean, he went to the Jets and Browns. Those are enigmatic franchises. But I think this is on full display. I think the ego and the harshness of Belichick wore out Brady. And we know that he was unhappy 2 years before he left because the stories are out now. He was talking to somebody in division, the Miami Dolphins, about going to play for them. He wanted to come back and burn New England. Like, he was already talking to Miami, their rival in division. The difference is Mac Jones doesn't have that resume. He doesn't have that leverage. He doesn't really have a strong voice in the room. And this is what he's left with. And this is why Brady left. Is that they just, everybody's too smart. They know their own stuff. We do it our way. Well, your way's not working. You're a 500 team that cannot force Josh Allen the last 2 years to punt. Can't. Forget beating him. You can't force him to punt in any game played against Josh in decent weather the last 2 years. So, Joy often laughs at the fact that I love practice video. Absolutely love practice video. Now, not all video is credible. I mean, UFO is a great example. Like, what's the angle? What's the clarity? You can't get too in love with video, right? But there are sometimes you see video and it's the truth. Like, that's fast, that's urgent, that's passionate. You can see crowds, you can see people. So if based on video that we have seen, clips of practice so far, Tua is going to be the MVP of the league and Daniel Jones is going to complete 23% of his throws. So how much of it is true? When you watch these videos and, you know, is video telling you the truth with Tua, and is it similarly telling you the truth with Daniel Jones? Because the clips coming out of Miami are unbelievable. It's just one 55-yard perfect strike after another for Tua. He just looks absolutely great in all the video that's been on the internet and been on blogs, and it's handheld stuff, and it comes from fans. It's perfect. Well, here's my thing. If you look at Tua's history, he was accurate in high school, accurate at Alabama, and he completed like 68% of his throws last year. He's always been accurate. Then I see these video clips where he now has an elite left tackle and elite receivers. He remains accurate with better help. I buy that video. I think he's going to have a very good year. And Daniel Jones, similarly, has never been that accurate. His college, even with David Cutcliffe, here's a throw. He just wasn't that accurate. In the NFL 3 years, he hasn't been accurate. So when I look at Daniel Jones' clips of video, I say, well, this is what he is. And when I look at Tua's clips, I say, well, that is what he is. So I do think Tua's going to have a big year, and Daniel Jones, by about week 8, they'll be done with him, and Tyrod Taylor will be playing. So in this instance, I have data combined with video, and I think these are real video clips of note, and they are telling you stuff. Because I think if you look at Tua's history, I went back and looked at high school stuff and college stuff and NFL stuff. Tua's never had an accuracy issue. He's Drew Brees. That's who he was comped with. His issue is, I got a bad left tackle and nobody's ever open. Off-season acquisitions, both problems solved. Armstead, Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Tyreek Hill. So I think Miami's going to have a very good year. Not everybody thinks that. I do. And I think the Giants are going to be an absolute wreck. The other thing I think about when I see practice video for quarterbacks is that the one thing a quarterback doesn't have to worry about in practice is getting hit. That is a significant psychological edge in practice. You never have to worry about getting hit. Translation, you should be more accurate. You should be more confident. I mean, if you played football in the NFL as a running back and knew you're not going to get hit today, you'd run harder. You'd run with more conviction. To a big year, Daniel Jones, nightmare, and I think it's both true. All right, 45 minutes from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. Got all sorts of rumors out there today on the market.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when I was a kid and I wanted to be a sportscaster, and I don't know if Joy thought this way, but I never wanted to be a homer for my local teams, because when I was a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and I watched sportscasters, I always liked the guys that were honest with me, even if my team stunk, because when you're a kid, even when you're a kid, you know when your team stink, right? And so when anybody says to me, Colin, you love all your L.A. teams, I always say, because I live in L.A. now, I'm like, well, they're all winning. I ripped the Lakers nonstop because they're a mess. Executive suite, roster, like the Rams won the Super Bowl. And Lincoln Riley's a really good coach at USC, and the Dodgers, like, draw more than anybody in baseball, and they won their division like 9 straight years. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? You know, the reality is I'm a Pacific Northwest kid, and for years I always lamented the Seahawks, and then they got Russell Wilson, and they were great. But I have been really, really hard on the Seahawks for a couple of years because I don't think they understand the value. Belichick's finding out about it now, the value of Russell Wilson. Figure out a way to get along with a star quarterback. If he's needy, not saying Russ is, but if he's needy, like Aaron Rodgers can be, deal with it. Just got to get along with Aaron Rodgers. He drives me nuts. You got to get along with him. You got to get along with Russell Wilson. You got to get along with Brady. You got to treat Mac Jones better. Deal with it. We know now, especially post-Brady-Belichick divorce, that the quarterback, if he's a star, is the 70-30 part of this equation. Now, I do think Andy Reid in an offensive league or a McVay can really elevate people, but in most cases, 70-30, quarterback over the coach. In pro, maybe not in college. So Drew Locke, apparently, is going to win the job in Seattle, Geno Smith or Drew Locke. Drew Locke is outperforming him, and Pete Carroll, a defensive coach, won't put his arms around Drew Locke and just say, Drew's better. Pete wants him to compete. Drew is better. Drew is more talented. Pete, put your arms around him. He won't, just like he wouldn't with Russell Wilson. So what's going to happen here in Seattle? And I don't think Pete's ready for it. It's one thing. Remember Kevin Durant left the Warriors. And for the first year, he dogged Golden State. How do we view it now? That he's crazy. Why? Because as he was losing simultaneously, the Warriors win the championship. That's two different stories at the same time, both going against you. It's like having two jets flying toward each other. They get there quicker. So Durant's flailing in Brooklyn. At the same time the Warriors are winning, there's no market for Kevin. People are like, Golden State's culture is better without him. He's difficult. He is needy. Fair or not, I don't think Kevin ever understood what was going to happen if he didn't win, and they did. It's bad for his brand. This is Belichick, was the best coach ever. Literally 2 years removed from it. 2 years. And he made the playoffs 1 year. We think less of Belichick. 2 years. Well, Seattle's offense in the three games they didn't have Russell Wilson last year. He got hurt, remember? It was the worst offense in the league in every category. There it is for our TV audience. Terrible. And there's a lot of narrative. So you're going to see an offense in Seattle this year that will be the worst in the league in a tough division. It'll be the worst in the league. The Rams' defensive front, Arizona's defensive front, and the Niners' defensive front have great pass rushes. They're going to start two rookie tackles and Drew Locke. Seattle's offense is going to be awful. Simultaneously, like KD and the Warriors, Russell is going to be crushing and scoring points in a tough division, and he's got seven national TV games. And here's Russell rolling out, making plays, Jerry Jeudy, these two great young running backs, a better offensive line, an offensive clever head coach. And Pete's going to be sitting there as a defensive coach, 1-8 with the worst offense in the league. And I don't think Seattle's ready for it. It'd be one thing if Russell got traded, you know, or got injured and disappeared for a year. Kevin Durant did get a break for a year because the Warriors fell apart. So for the first year when Kevin left the Warriors, we were all like, KD is winning. And they got bounced in the first round. But we really didn't crush KD for 2 years because the Warriors were awful. Now, the minute the Warriors are good simultaneously with Kevin, his market shrinks. We all think he's a little off. Difficult and needy. Did he get needier? No, the Warriors won while he was struggling. And so I think what you're going to have, and it's going to be like the Brady Belichick situation on HGH. Because New England's not terrible. Seattle will be. At least they have Mac Jones and a good defense. Seattle's going to be awful, unwatchable. Simultaneously, 70-year-old head coach who couldn't get along with Russ, as Russ is crushing it with an offensive guy. And I just don't think Pete's ready for the tsunami. If Kevin Durant can see his market shrink, if Belichick now is looked at cynically, what's 2-15 going to look like with Russ? And remember, Russell Wilson bizarrely has never gotten an MVP vote, which is kind of weird, right? Like not one? Not one? So I do think there is a little bit of sympathy for Russell Wilson, that there's kind of a sense like, come on. It's like when Westbrook got jettisoned by KD. The story was poor Russ got like, you know, his partner left him. And there was a sympathy vote for Russell. I think Russell Wilson's going to get, if it's close or it's a tie with like an Aaron Rodgers or a Brady, Russell would get the sympathy vote. Like, dude's never gotten an MVP vote. So the media is going to be very pro-Russell Wilson this year. Watch, I always have been, but they're going to be very pro-Russell. They're not going to give another MVP if it's close to Aaron or another one to Rodgers or you know, Mahomes has. They're going to give Russ the vote, Russ the column, Russ the discussion, Russ the talk show segment. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Drama with the Cleveland Browns.
Drama?
Well, Kareem Hunt is entering the final year of a two-year, $12 million extension with the Browns. Yeah. He's been looking to get a contract extension this offseason, but hasn't gotten one yet. So in an attempt to put some pressure on the front office, he formally requested a trade. The Browns, however, have declined dealing him. They declined his request. They have no interest in moving him. Jacina Anderson reported that Kareem Hunt did not participate in team drills on Friday and Saturday and said he would only do individual work, but decided to participate on Sunday. She also added that he has informally told his teammates he wants to get paid or traded, but one source says he would like to stay in Cleveland. Now, he has been pretty productive his three seasons in Cleveland. He's 27, but he did miss 9 games last season with calf and ankle injuries.
And Nick Chubb's amazing. Like, amazing.
And they have D'Ernest Johnson. So Hunt led the Browns with 11 touchdowns, 6 rushing and 5 receiving in 2020. But again, last year was not the same situation. He finished 3rd on the team in rushing behind Nick Chubb and D'Ernest Johnson last year.
So this is a situation where I get what Cleveland's doing. So Cleveland's going to pay a lot of money to, we know this, right, to Deshaun. And it's got, they got to start, they, you know, you got the best pass rusher in football, arguably, Myles Garrett. And they've got a handful of really good players they're going to keep. They just did re-sign the O-line. So in this instance, and Nick Chubb's amazing. Nick Chubb is a great player. I can't pay 2 running backs. There's absolutely no way. And so my takeaway with Cleveland is, whereas they're saying publicly we're not dealing him, just deal him and get a draft pick and cross your fingers on Nick Chubb's health. Because you can't pay 2 running backs big boy money. Like, you just can't. I mean, the Rams have Cam Akers. Did you notice what the Rams drafted this year? Another running back.
Well, the running back position, I feel like, goes through waves.
Yes.
Like, 1 year we're like, oh, if you gotta have a high, you gotta have a number one running back, or you can't win. And then the next year it's like running back by committee. You don't need to pay any running backs.
Yeah,
you're crazy if you ever pay a running back. So it constantly goes through these waves as to the value of what that running back position brings.
Yeah.
I believe very much that you need to have a strong running game, particularly if you're in certain divisions like the AFC North, where it's cold. And you're playing against really good defenses.
Yeah.
And it's a rough, tough division. You do want to have a strong running game, and the Browns will benefit from this. But to your point, you can't pay everybody, and you already have Nick Chubb. So if you have enough depth at the position, just deal him. Because he wants to get paid. What if he does sit out for this year? Who knows how messy this can get? You got enough going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, and if you have a young quarterback and you're like, our quarterback needs run support. I mean, Kareem Hunt's a number one back.
You're right.
I mean, he is. So I mean,
when he's healthy, absolutely.
Absolutely. So this is one of these situations where you can't pay everybody, and there are certain positions. I'll pay for 2 edge rushers. I'll actually pay for 2 receivers, the way the position. I can't pay for 2 running backs. I just can't do it. That's why. If they could get out of his contract, I think Dallas would move Tony Pollard up and draft another running back. They're trapped now for about another year, I think.
Yeah.
But you just can't. There are certain, you can't pay 2 guards huge money. The Rams just drafted a guard. Why? Because they're paying their tackle, right? So like, there's positions you can't pay 2 linebackers in 2022 huge money. The Bears do, and the Bears are a mess. So Cleveland's a little trapped here. And Kareem Hunt's got huge value. Go get a player or draft pick for him.
Yeah. So the biggest question at Panthers camp is, who will win the starting job, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
Saw this morning.
Well, Matt Rhule said there will be no decision made on who will be the starter until after their second preseason game against the Patriots. But according to Ian Rappaport, the job is Baker's to lose. He said it's an open competition between Baker Mayfield, who they just traded for, and Sam Darnold. They are splitting reps, some with the ones, some with the twos, kind of making sure they take turns. But it has been pretty clear through the reps, though the reps have been about equal, it is clear that this is Baker Mayfield's job to lose here in Carolina.
So ask yourself this. So what do we know to be true about this organization? The owner is the richest owner in the league and really impatient.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of the Steve Ballmer, big, expressive, billionaire, hedge fund kind of guy, and he's really impatient. We also know Matt Rhule could be the first coach to be fired this year.
He's in the hot seat.
So ask yourself this. If you bring back, because I think both of us thought that Darnold would probably have an edge early, but would screw up because he's reckless, and Baker would replace. They didn't bring Baker there to sit the whole year. They're going to, but Sam's not good enough to stave off legitimate competition, right? So it sounds like Baker's got to lead quicker than I thought. But just thinking about this, somebody on the staff said this morning, and I think it's a really interesting point. So the first game of the year for Carolina is Cleveland.
Yes.
It's a 1 o'clock game. Darnold against Cleveland is the most boring game in that window. Baker against his former team is arguably the first or second most interesting game in the window. So it's not a good team, and they're going to be buried in that 1 o'clock window all year. No network wants Carolina. If you're the owner and you're Matt Rhule, you're not going to get talked about. This business that you spent a fortune on, there's stories the owner is unhappy with Rhule and he's embarrassed by how much he paid Matt Rhule. Starting Baker and getting national play as a coach doesn't hurt your job.
Yeah, I mean, Baker is a better story here.
Way
than Sam Darnold.
More interesting.
Whether that's fair or not, if all things are equal, I would go with Baker. Also, I think Baker is the better quarterback. I mean, when all things are functioning and he has support, Baker is a good quarterback. He's can win a playoff game. That's what we've seen. Yeah, he's healthy and he has support.
He has literally had a good 8-game stretch in his career. Sam hasn't.
Right. So I don't know that I should even say all things being equal, because I don't think they're equal quarterbacks. I think Baker Mayfield is better at the quarterback position than Sam Darnold. They clearly brought him in because they felt like we don't feel good about Sam Darnold.
Right.
But the dynamics of Matt Rhule, even with the contract that he has, make things very interesting. You wouldn't think that Matt Rhule is coaching for his job with that contract, but he very much is.
And it's
not unfair. Like, he's won 5 games each year.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it.
You can't.
And particularly in this division that is winnable.
You go back to your owner and you say, yeah, we're going to run back Sam again. That's a quiet room. But if you can sell, you know, I think we're going to be a little better.
Or just we're changing things.
Yeah.
You can't go into the same year with the same plan when we saw the results that you had already. So changing things makes, at least you're showing effort. At least, okay, I'm not stuck in my ways. I'm going to try something different. I'm going to shake it up. But I'm with you. Baker Mayfield against the Browns week one, regardless of who's playing for the Browns,
it's
way
watch.
More interesting. It's, you've got to watch
it. We went and looked at the 1 o'clock window. It's like first or second best game with Baker. Unwatchable with Sam. Like literally an unwatchable game in the 1 o'clock window week one.
Yes. So the Lakers are moving forward into the season with their current roster for now. There's lots of rumors about Russell Westbrook and potentially acquiring Kyrie Irving. But does seem like they're staying put. This did prompt an anonymous Western Conference executive to leak that some within the Lakers organization want to explore trading an often injured Anthony Davis, saying a lot of that depends on where LeBron winds up. If he stays in Los Angeles and he stays a Laker, he had a lot personally invested in AD being there. So yes, in that case, Davis stays, but it's not a sure thing. There are some in the organization who would not mind seeing what they can bring back for AD.
Yes.
But they would not do it with LeBron there. You get to 2024, though, and maybe things change.
Yeah, you know my stance on this. People show you who they are. Believe them. He is.
You would trade Anthony Davis at the trade deadline this year.
If he's healthy and his value's up, I'd move him in 2 seconds. Because as LeBron is getting, as I've created shows in my career, the older I get, the younger my staff gets. There's a reason I do that, right? Like the energy young people on our staff have, you have. So as LeBron gets older and less available for 82 games, he has to have players who are more reliable and accountable in conditioning and availability. So LeBron is always, we've talked about this, LeBron likes older players.
Right.
LeBron is such a smart player, he don't want to be your school teacher. LeBron's like,
he's past the development stage, which is understandable. Yeah. You get to a point where you're like, I'm tired of teaching people things.
He's literally chosen the smartest players in the league. He wanted Ray Allen, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, Shane Battier. LeBron's like, give me the LeBron will take, he wants brain power. I'll figure out the rest, right? And so now, though, he's got to pivot into, okay, I'm not available for 25 games. What I do need, I'm going to have to go younger player. And I think LeBron is smart enough. He's always been very good at pivoting. LeBron has to come to terms with this. LeBron, you can no longer surround yourself with old guys. because they get hurt more. And so I think LeBron at the trade deadline, if you moved AD and got him younger, healthier players, maybe less skilled, but LeBron makes everybody better on every roster he's ever been on. So I think, can LeBron understand, like, LeBron, you've pivoted so many times in your career. It is time to pivot to good, talented youth.
I think there's no chance they move Anthony Davis. I agree with this quote. I don't think there's any chance they move Anthony Davis while LeBron is there. Now, if LeBron ends up leaving, which I do not believe LeBron will leave, then it's maybe a different situation. Or if Anthony Davis goes through another season this year and isn't available for most of the season, obviously his value would be down. But then maybe you just, you know, just move on. The Anthony Davis move was not a failure. They won a championship.
In a bubble.
So,
yeah.
Yes, but regardless, it doesn't matter. They won a championship.
Yeah.
So it was not a failure when you talk about the trade that was made. What would you go back, if you said this all the time, if I presented you with this situation right now before, would you take it? Did you take a ring? Absolutely. There's plenty of organizations that don't have rings.
But if it gets really ugly in the first half of this year, then you start going, okay, it's the Lakers. We got a ring. We've got 30 of them. This is now untenable. It doesn't work at all.
Well,
fingers crossed.
In theory, Russell Westbrook was supposed to be the guy that was going to fill that void for Anthony Davis and LeBron James in being available. And Westbrook is always available to his credit. But what you're bringing when you're available is the question.
Yeah.
That was what that trade was supposed to do.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Top of the hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray, rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Good to have you back. Top of the hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. We've said this before, is that don't think you're smarter than the room. Generally, there's a reason most businesses kind of go in the same direction because everybody's getting the same data. New England's had a weird last 2 years, a weird draft. Now they put a defensive coordinator and a special teams guy as an offensive coordinator right in the middle of Mac Jones' development. They may have the weakest receiving core in the league. They let Shaq Mason go, then drafted a guard. Why not keep Shaq Mason? One of the straight shooters in the Boston media I've relied on for years is Tom Curran, NBC Sports. I understand deference to Belichick, but are there whispers, Tom? Are there at least, because there's stories out now from credible people that Mac has stepped back a little bit. He's not as comfortable in camp. Mm-hmm. Are there now whispers about, do we know what we're doing here? Have we given Belichick kind of too much rope and too much control?
I think locally there is much more scrutiny and much more willingness to say, what in God's name is he thinking? And nationally, there is still a general deference because you're not watching the granular micro stuff every day.
Right.
But, you know, the decisions that you refer to and even the comments by Robert Kraft at the owners meetings. Look, we've been 3 years without a playoff win. He states in 2021, our drafts have been horrible. He makes mention of the fact that Bill has an unconventional coaching staff and we'll see how it goes. Look, all of these things together are scrutinized by the local media in a much more, I think, judgmental way than the national media. But yeah, Mac Jones isn't regressing. The Patriots are renovating their entire offense, but they have a couple of math teachers trying to teach science and they haven't done it before.
Yeah.
So there's a point at which, Colin, sorry to be long-winded.
No.
Mac's going to go, why are we doing this again?
Yeah. Well, we also have something happening, Tom. I think you and I have talked about. The league is pivoting to offense. Miami quickly said, we're changing the staff. We're going offense here. You start looking at Miami's skill people and Buffalo's skill people, and even the Jets have landed interesting skill people. This sounds absurd to say this. I don't have New England making the playoffs. I don't. I don't think they've played well against Miami when Tua didn't have support. This morning, if I said to you, Miami, New England, who's better? I think it's Miami. I think they're leaning into the league. Your thoughts?
There's one edge the Patriots have over the Dolphins. That's the head coach. And the head coach is part of the staff. So, you know, what's the staff like around Bill Belichick? We understand that it's the greatest coach in this century, maybe either century of the NFL. But still, the staff around him has lost Ernie Adams, who was Belichick's consigliere, Dante Scarnecchia, who was a Hall of Fame level offensive line coach, Ivan Fears, who had been the running backs coach. They lost a bunch of guys who went out to Oakland with Josh McDaniels, who's been the best offensive coordinator. So even that edge, you would have to scrutinize. The Patriots lose to the Dolphins twice last year, and I think they split in 2020, or they might have lost all four. So, yeah, Miami's a better team right now than New England. It's hard to rationalize that they aren't.
Yeah. You know, it's I said this, I think it was last week, at Joy here. I said I made five bold predictions for the year, and 70 is a round number. He's got a house in Jupiter, beautiful girlfriend. He likes to golf. I mean, those New England winners can wear you out. And I said, I could see Kraft going to Bill if they don't make the playoffs and saying, you know, Bill, I don't want to fire you. I'm going to give you a big check. And we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to move offense with a younger staff. And I don't think that's crazy. People say, well, Bell wants to get to Don Shula's record. If this team is 7-10, I don't think Kraft cares about Don Shula's record. I really don't. I've read all these Belichick books and these New England books, Tom. Kraft and Belichick are not nearly as close as Kraft and Brady were. I don't think it's crazy at 70 if Kraft came to him after a bad season. Does that seem just absurd to you?
Not in the least, Colin. No, and I think when you point out that they're not nearly as close as Kraft and Brady were, it also underscores the notion that Robert Kraft played Pontius Pilate to the Brady situation and said, you decide, Bill. Okay, I'm going to let you make the decision. And that's what really made it very bitter for Brady, is always it had been Robert Kraft and Tom would work out the contract, even with the exception of Don Yee, who he'd come in at the end to do the language. But Bill wasn't involved necessarily in the contract, yet 19 and 20 come around, or even in 18, and it was Bill's deal to make those deals. So Robert Kraft isn't psyched about the way things have gone with Tom Brady in Tampa. He's happy to have Mac Jones, but that decision still rankles. And when you look at, okay, what will be the exit strategy from Belichick if they're an 8-9 team? Or how long will he give Bill to rebuild? That's what's fascinating, is now you've got a stripped-down offense that they're trying to implement, a little bit more of the Kyle Shanahan stuff. They're trying to get it in. And you have a new quarterback, and you have a bare-bones coaching staff. It's like the house will be halfway up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Do you fire the contractor? It's hard. It really is. It's fascinating to watch this play out. And people, you know, say, how can you talk about Bill Belichick being fired? It's an ongoing thing that really dates back to the Malcolm Butler decision in February of 2018. And now it's August of 2022. And Bill doesn't have a lot of things to point to and say, see, that was a great job by me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Super Bowl win in there. Not to dismiss it.
Yeah.
But that team went 11-5. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Yeah. No, finally, the story came out. I kind of supported Brady last week when the story came out. He was talking to the Dolphins while a Patriot. And I said, well, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter at the end of their careers were talking about owning a team. Magic's got ownership in the Dodgers. LeBron, there's talk he would own an NBA team in Vegas. Like, these uber successful GOATs, all-time guys, they get to an end of a career. Where are they going to put their money? In what they know, pro sports franchises. But it does smack of a convenience when it's the Dolphins, a bitter rival. And I was told, I said this on the air a couple years ago, Tampa was not Tom's first choice. Giselle wanted Miami, a more international city, and Tom actually was more interested, but Tampa's where he landed. How is it playing in New England? Tom was talking to the Dolphins while he was a Patriot.
Poorly. You know, it's interesting when you look at that whole situation. The Patriots signed him to the last of their lowball contracts in August of 2019, and that's when the contact with the Dolphins began. I can't imagine that the Dolphins were the first ones to say, hey, you got another crap contract. You thinking about coming down here? I imagine at that point, after Brady had finally grown resigned to the fact that I'm not going to finish my career here, as I begged them to, I'm going to start looking for my next jumping off spot. To do that in August prior to the season beginning is kind of crappy. You can get it in January after the season ended. The Krafts themselves, intimated that during the run-up to free agency, they weren't going to be running around trying to file tampering charges on teams because they wanted Tom to make an advised decision when he left, if he stayed or whatever. But August is a bridge too far, I think, for many Patriots fans to have him doing that prior to the season.
Yeah, no, it's I get it from a local fan standpoint. Tom Curran, shoot, straight NBC Sports Boston, covering the Patriots for 25 years. It's great seeing you again.
You too, man. Have me back on. I'll be less long-winded.
All right, thanks. Tom Curran. This is interesting. So Joy and I have a real interest. We like college football, but we think it's gotten too regional. And so I think three of my favorite brands that are what I would call glamour brands, and college football doesn't have a lot of glamour brands. Notre Dame's a glamour brand. Miami is, USC is, Texas is. Oklahoma's just a great program. Ohio State's a great program. Alabama's a great program. But the flash of Miami, the flash of Austin, which is a music, food, culinary hotbed, the flash of LA, it gives college football a big city feel when the Canes are good, USC is good, and Austin is good. And so the coaches poll came out this morning. These are the guys that know personnel, the top 25. Joy, the top is pretty predictable.
Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame is top five.
Very predictable.
Michigan, A&M, Utah, OU, Baylor, top 10.
Totally agree. I'd put Baylor ahead of Oklahoma, but it's really close.
USC is at 15.
Okay, so that means USC's at 15 means they're going to lose about three games. I agree.
Miami is 17 and Texas is 18.
I'm going to go with Miami's going to be better than that. I think Texas doesn't know who their quarterback is. USC's defense is not good enough to stop good offenses. So I think USC at 15 and Texas at what? 17?
At 18.
18 is right. I think Miami's going to be better than that, and I'll tell you why. The ACC's not very good. They have a first-round NFL quarterback, and their weakness last year was O-line and run game. What is Mario Cristobal's strength? O-line and run game. So he brought a couple Oregon kids to Miami to play on the O-line. So I think Miami's going to be better, faster than USC, and they're going to be better this year than Texas.
Boy, Brian Kelly's getting no respect.
Well, we got to be fair here. He took over a little bit of a hot mess. They're going to be fine. Hour two next.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.